8th episode of the Curly W Live podcast. As a reminder, you can always find the podcast on our blog, which is Curly W Live, curlyw.mlblogs.com, nationals.com/podcasts, and on iTunes, search Curly W Live. So episode 8 was a very special episode as we welcomed Mark Lerner, a principal owner and vice chairman of the Washington Nationals, to the podcast. In addition to Mark, we are welcomed by one of his sons, Jonathan Lerner, who is an executive at Lerner Enterprises. Mark's father and Jonathan's grandfather, Ted Lerner, founded Lerner Enterprises in 1952, and they are currently in their 65th year of business. So I literally handed the microphones over to Mark and Jonathan, and while Jonathan was technically interviewing his dad, it was more of a conversation between a father and a son. They talked about the 2017 in general, what baseball means to them and their family. They told stories about their grandfather and father, Ted Lerner, who they referred to as Pop Pop, and their mother and grandmother, Annette, as well as some stories about Gio Gonzalez from the On Deck Circle. And as you may or may not know, Mark has experienced some health issues this year, so the two of them talked about how that has impacted them. Barry Sfaluga from the Washington Post wrote a story on August 17th about some of those issues, so check out that piece for more information on that. All in all, I thought it was a pretty great conversation, and it was really cool to listen to these two talk about their family, their lives in baseball, and the times they get to share together. So here it is, episode 8 of the Curly W Live podcast featuring Mark and Jonathan Lerner. Enjoy. All right, and we are back here in the Curly W Live studios at Nationals Park. And as I mentioned in the open, this is a very exciting episode as I am extremely honored to welcome Mark Lerner, principal owner and vice chairman of the Washington Nationals, to the podcast. Mark, welcome.
Thanks very much, Kyle. Glad to be here.
This will be a bit of a different format than what listeners are used to over the course of the season, because I'm going to step aside and welcome a guest host on episode 8. And that guest host is one of Mark's sons, Jonathan Lerner. So I am physically going to hand the mic over to Jonathan right now, and I hope you enjoy episode 8 of the Curly W Live podcast.
Thank you. So, Dad, one day away, playoffs. How you feeling?
Feeling really good, especially I just spent 2 hours out in the field watching the guys hit and throw it around and talking to every one of them, and it was exciting. It started getting me really pumped up.
That's excellent. How's this this year feel? It's back to back division titles. How's this year feel versus last year?
They're all special in their own way. I think there's a little different buzz in the air now. The team has matured. I think it's the strongest team that we've had, and I think just talking to players, like I said, they've got me pumped up because they feel like this could be their season.
Yeah. Well, it's last week you wrote a blog, yes, talking about the depth of the team this year, and everyone was dropping like flies over the season. It's nice to have everybody back, but can you talk a little bit about what you learned watching the team kind of struggle with that?
Well, each year you get some kind of injury issue, but this year seemed to be just a click or two worse than what we've dealt with in the past. And it's great that everybody's back. The only, on top of my head, the only one I'm really missing is Adam Eaton, who would have been obviously a major part of winning this title this year. But look at what Michael Taylor has done in his place. And we're very lucky to have the depth in the organization that Mike and has created. And it's made a huge difference. We didn't miss a beat this whole season. And in the past years, we kind of dropped off. This year, it was different. We just kept on rolling. And I think that that's a tribute to Mike Rizzo and his staff. And Dusty Baker, certainly. And Dusty's done a marvelous job moving these players around. So we kept our momentum. Even at our worst times, he was able to mix and match who we had on the bench and who was available to him to keep the momentum going.
So I know this season has been a big season for you. It's been a big season for us as a family too. Do you remember us celebrating last year?
Oh yeah, I'm still drying off from it. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, I mean, it's not really often that you just get to like walk up to your dad, pour cold beer all over him, and get away with it.
I remember the cold. I don't remember the quantity, but I know it was large.
Oh, it was a lot. I'm very proud of it.
It was cold,
and you got the video to prove it.
You did a heck of a job getting me. And then the worst part of it is I think I went up to change, and the or that may have been Atlanta a few years ago, but I walked up to change my clothes because I was so soaked before we walked back to the hotel, and I couldn't find my bag for a while. So it just kept getting soaked in even further. But it was fun being there with you and enjoying the moment for
you
sure.
You still smell like beer.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, this year, considering the health challenges that you faced, how was celebrating this year? Is there anything that kind of sticks out? I mean, I have a few kind of really particular moments, but I just would love to get your perspective here.
Well, the year, as has been well documented, has been a tough one for our family and for me. And I'm glad that I didn't think I'd be here for the playoffs as far as in the health good enough to be able to attend it. But I'm so excited to be able to come to the games for the playoffs. And it's it feels great to be a part of it. And I just I'm very blessed to have all the support that I had, not only from you guys, but everybody around us in our organizations with the Nationals and Lerner and all of our friends and family. And it's just I'm very grateful to all the support I've gotten.
You know, I remember this one moment. It was right after we clinched. We were all out on the field. And the team members started coming up to you and giving you hugs and all. And I remember we were there, it was you, me, and the rest of the family, and mom as well was right behind you. And we went into the clubhouse to celebrate, and mom was walking you off the field. Can you tell us more about that experience? Yeah. What was going on?
Well, it was kind of hard coming in a wheelchair. That was a weird experience on its own, but it was very special. You know, my mom has been an incredible part of this whole thing for me. I mean, I honestly don't believe that I would be here without her support through this year of the illness issues. But I'm so glad that she was able to enjoy that moment, because we didn't, neither of us obviously made it to many games this year because of the health problem. And for her to be pushing me down the warning track and all the fans waving and thanking me and clapping really meant a lot. And she was pushing me to go into the ramp. People wondering where she's pushing
me to.
It's
well documented. She's not a great driver.
But she didn't bump into anything, but it was great. And we were working our way back around to the Nats clubhouse to be able to enjoy the champagne celebration in there.
Well, yeah, so I do. Yeah, that was very special.
I must say it was very special. All the players and coaches coming over to me like they did today, actually. And first time I got to see them all without a lot of commotion. And I think it was just about every person in the organization who was on the field, that they came over and wished me well. And that meant a lot to me.
Well, it's pretty powerful. It's there's a lot of motion on the field.
That's for sure. Yeah. When I was in the hospital and, I really wasn't able to watch a whole game from start to finish because you're so tired from everything. And even at home, I get tired. So just to be able to enjoy all or part of a game from home was special. And because you don't enjoy much in the hospital, that's for sure. I'm sure everybody listening to this agrees with that.
Yeah. So did you miss the ballpark food?
I did not miss the ballpark food at all.
Because you have a wing problem.
No, my biggest problem is you lose your appetite. Yeah, it's not that we have great ballpark food.
Yeah.
But it just, that wasn't what, it was the top thing on my list. Yeah.
Well, okay, so, but let's talk about it. You do have a wing problem.
I admit it, I have a wing problem, but no question about that. But the first night I was back here, I was able to enjoy dinner in the Delta Club, and the food's damn good.
Yeah.
So, I'm able to, watch my intake more than I've done before. Okay.
So, you have a wing problem. You have a wing problem. You have a French fry problem.
Yes.
Right.
I think
has
I had,
anyone ever.
I think I had that under control.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you have it under control, but has anyone ever tried to intervene or messed with you? I mean, this is well documented.
It's well documented, but one of the good things that came out of being in the hospital is I lost 20 plus pounds, and I'm trying to maintain it. So hopefully the wing.
Well, my suggestion is this is not the most efficient way. This is not the best way to do it.
And the French fry thing are under control.
All right. So, Let's circle back. You always sit when you even when you travel with team, you try to sit as close as possible.
Yes.
Try to sit near the dugout.
Absolutely.
Why do you do that? What's that energy like when you?
Well, I you can certainly hear a lot when you're close to, like in Nationals Park. I really can't hear, but you know you get more of that feeling in spring training, honestly, because you're really close to it. And, you know, the players and the coaches are almost right on top of you.
Yeah.
I just love you feel like you're part of the game down there.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, you know, what's your relationship with the players when you're down there? Do any of them ever, rib on them, or do they ever mess with you, or?
Well, the one who always messes with me, and I certainly mess with him right back, is Gio Gonzalez. It's well known, and I think I've won that every year, except for this year. It's got to be a draw this year so far. But
does he know about your French fry problem?
Well, he I don't think it's that well known. But Gio, I have a couple of good stories about Gio and then the on deck circle. First one's the on deck circle is that. People ask me all the time, what do you say to Gio? Because they can't hear. And I kid them about different things. But the one that I'm most proud of is that last year when I was here, I'm always frustrated. Any pitcher that takes an 0-2 count and makes it 3-2. And so he's coming up to the on-deck circle. And I said, I got some news for you. He says, what? He says, your next game, we're changing your number from 32 to 47. He says, well, why is that? I said, because every time you get a pitcher 0-2, you end up with a 3-2 count. So we're just okay. Well,
so it's 47 to 32.
Yeah, that just shows you how tired I am this year. Yeah. Yes, the other way around. 47 goes to 32.
Yeah.
And he started giving me a lot of bull after I gave him that. But that was a funny one. Then we were on a trip with the team, San Diego, a few years back, and I'm with my cousin. Matt from who lived in Los Angeles area at that time, and he about half an hour before he went up and got some food for us, like fish and chips or whatever, and they had him on the ledge, which was right between the dugout and me.
Fish and chips, classic ballpark food.
Classic ballpark food. Arthur Treacher's from the old people who are old like me, and Matt says to me, he says, "Where's your food?" I said. I noticed you didn't eat any, but there's only a couple of bites left. And so I said, I know who's up to this. And remember, he's pitching this day. Gio's pitching this day. Usually people who are pitching, they go off into a corner, and they don't want to be bothered by anybody. He's thinking about how he's going to get me. At some point, I was just waiting for him to – And I looked, and you see this arm come around the corner of the dugout, you know, like tapping, trying to find another piece of food. And I slap him. I slap him. It wasn't his pitching hand. But that was a good one. That was a really good one. But I love Gio.
Well, how'd he pitch?
He's been great, just great over the years. And he's just a terrific person. But I think we won that day. It's all done with fun and – And like I said, he's terrific.
So you mentioned you were out there with our cousin, and so doesn't matter where you are. This seems like it's a family affair. The baseball and Nationals.
Yes.
Is there any moments that you can think of where you were just like feelings of gratitude, how the family can be involved with something like this, you know, you and Pop-Pop and how.
Yeah, well, certainly we wouldn't have gotten into this unless your aunts and your grandmother and everybody said yes to doing it together. We had to be a unanimous decision. I'm grateful for that. But it's always been my dream and Pop-Pop's dream to be involved in sports, and certainly baseball was a great love of ours when I was growing up and loved to go to games with him. It's meant a lot that just about every member of the family has some involvement in the Nationals, whether it's, you know, offering their opinion on different things we're thinking about doing or an active role. It's really been a great family affair, so to speak, everybody being a part of this. And certainly when you win one of these things, whether it's just winning the NL East or going farther, it is just very gratifying. And we're hoping to take it all the way again, for the first time. But we certainly, getting to the NL East four or less 6 years is nothing to sneeze at. And we're very proud of our accomplishments to date, because we had to build an organization from scratch. And people don't necessarily realize that, how bad a condition this was. And we believe we have the best organization all of Major League Baseball at this point.
So, Dad, you were talking about Nana and Pop-Up and maybe the differences in how they watch the game and how they react to the game, and maybe what you've learned from them, maybe what you've learned not to do from them.
Well, I think the way they approach it and the way people see them in the box is really from what is one end of the spectrum to the other. Your grandfather wants to sit and not be bothered. He wants to just watch the game as I do when I sit up there or when I sit downstairs near the dugout. And he really doesn't want to be bothered having to get up and say hi to people. He just wants to watch the ball game. Whereas your grandmother, it's a different story. She's not only, you know, trying to be
the perfect
Jewish host. She's trying to shove food down your throat. But if anything goes wrong, strikeout, an error, it's almost the end of the world. You know, let's get the bus. That guy's got to go. You got to go back to Syracuse, or he's got to whatever. And so it's pretty funny. She wants to know a lot about baseball.
She doesn't actually know how podcasts work, so you can talk about her vocabulary.
Yeah, we can't talk about her vocabulary. This is a G-rated program. but it is fun watching her get into the games. Nobody gets into it more than her. And even nights when your grandfather doesn't come to the game for whatever reason, she still wants to come, and she finds a way down here. And I bet you that most years she's probably – is all members of family, she's clearly number one in attendance. Mm. And that is pretty amazing for someone.
She's 39 years old.
Her young age and beauty. But it is fun to be able to experience that with your grandparents. So it's pretty neat thing.
Talking a little bit about them and so you and Pop-Up, you had mentioned before that you had talked about, you know, kind of what owning a team would be like, you know, and kind of for a long time before the opportunity for the Nationals ever came along.
Yeah.
What does a conversation like that look like? I mean, it seems like such a pipe dream, and then for it to come to D.C., I mean,
well,
wow.
It really is amazing because, you know, as a little boy, I have saying, boy, wouldn't it be cool to have something like this? And, you know, your grandfather couldn't afford it back then. But it's been fun. It's what's most fun is just being able to talk sports with him over the years and be able to share that together. It's been even more special the fact that we were able to pull this off. Who would have thought it? You know, after we got our small piece of the Wizards and Capitals with our great partner, Ted Leonsis, I always thought that was the end. I never thought this would ever happen. So for it to happen, for us to have it happen in our hometown and to be able to build an organization basically from the bottom up successfully like we've done, it's been just a great thrill. And to be able to share it with your grandfather, who in a few days is going to be 92 years old, is just – it's very, very special.
You know what he told me the other day? We were in the elevator at work together, and again the elevator with him.
Yeah.
And we're chit-chatting about exercise, actually, because, you know, he's
nobody works as hard as him.
He's in the gym more than the players. It's unbelievable. I just he looked at me and he goes, "John," I said, "Yeah." He goes, "In 92, can't do what I did at 85.
One of the great lines ever. Yeah. No question about it.
Point. All right, so here's a question. Very important question. What would your walk-up music be?
Ooh, tough one. I've mentioned that a number of times, but I could tell you that I would want one Motown song.
All right, what's the Motown song?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
It has to be a Motown song.
It has to be a Motown song.
Okay. So, all right. You're just going genres.
Just genres.
So you're more like a walk-up radio station.
Yeah, one would be a Sinatra song.
Okay. So you like when Bryce did his walk-up?
Yeah, I loved it. And, we had a good time with that together. Actually, we were flying home from Los Angeles, and the two of us were talking about our love for Sinatra, and one thing led to another, and with the hat and the giveaway day with the hat and everything else. So it was fun. But and the third one, I think, would be, surprisingly, a country music song.
I'm not surprised.
And so you should be.
I'm a little fun. So I've never heard you listen to country ever. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised.
We listen to it. Your mother and I listen to it all the time. So.
Oh, fair enough. here's a question. What would Pop-Up's walk-on music be?
that's tough. I don't know what it would be. That was since we don't have a national song, I don't know what he would go for.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. That's one you better ask him.
Okay, done.
Get him on the show.
Okay. Oh, next time. What are some of the more meaningful non-baseball related experiences that you've had that have come out of your time with the Nationals?
Well, that's a very easy answer. Certainly, our relationship with all the branches of the military is an incredible part of our organization.
Has your obviously this is something very near and dear to your heart.
Yes, and it's always been. We've done it. Saluted the military and had them as our guests since the first or second day we owned the team.
Yeah,
and it's the best thing we do.
Okay,
what these young people go through and have come back from, and the severity of their injuries and being able to share a game with us, it's just been totally enjoyable. And your mom especially has been one of the ones who really entertains them when they're here, and we're both here together at a game. She loves talking with them also, and has them, and they're meant to feel welcome. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But all the ones that Mom and I have met over time, and I'm sure you and your brother and sister have met, they're just incredible people. And they always walk around with a smile on their face, no matter how severe their injuries have been or what stage they're at in this their rehabilitation process. But it gives you a real perspective on how lucky we all are, and what they've done, what they've all done for us in our country over the years.
That's incredibly powerful. When you think about kind of the trajectory of the organization and the postseason, is there anything new about that the fans can look forward to this postseason?
I don't know about this postseason. That's a little bit ahead of us right now, I think.
Fair enough. Superstition, then.
All right. No superstition. I think it's silly sounds. We're taking a game at a time. We're as prepared as we can be going into the postseason. And now we just need, it's a lot of luck involved in this, too. Everything has to fall your way, like it did for the Cubs last year and other teams in Kansas City the year before that. So, we're just hoping the good luck falls our way, and I think the guys are prepared, and we're in the best position to win and go deeper in the playoffs than we ever have been.
Do you have a favorite racing president?
Well, I think it's probably Teddy.
Well, I mean,
because your grandfather's nickname is Teddy, I have an affinity towards him. And I also love Screech.
We're going to have to wrap this up in a minute. But is there anything that you would say to the fans? Any message for the fans?
Mrs. Van, well, you know, we appreciate all the support we get every year. The fans here are fantastic, and we hope that they show up in their red and have a lot of sore throats the next day after the game tomorrow night. And we sure hope we can bring back a trophy this year for everybody and take that walk down Pennsylvania Avenue and enjoy it. So, but again, we thank the fans, and it's from the bottom of my heart and everyone in our family. It means so very much for your continuing support.
All right. Thank you. Hopefully we get to do this again soon.
But thanks, buddy.
Thanks again to Mark and Jonathan for taking part in Episode 8 of the Curly W Live podcast. I hope fans enjoyed listening to the two of them interact, tell stories, talk about baseball. So once again, I hope you guys enjoyed Mark and Jonathan. So as we always say, we want your feedback. So feel free to tweet at me, at Kyle Brostowitz, or at Nationals. And feel free to leave comments on Curly W Live. You can always find the podcast on our blog, which is Curly W Live, curlyw.mlblogs.com, nationals.com/podcasts, and on iTunes. So be sure to subscribe to the blog as well as to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss out on anything. Well, here we are, the 2017 postseason. Game 1 of the NLDS is Friday night at 7:31 p.m., with Game 2 taking place on Saturday at 5:38 p.m. The two clubs will be enjoying off day in Chicago on Sunday before Game 3 starts on Monday night. So, like Mark said, wear your red, get loud, let's have some sore throats and some hoarse voices the next morning, and this is going to be a very exciting time around Washington, D.C., so get ready. Once again, Nationals fans, thanks for checking out the podcast. We will see you next time on the Curly W Live podcast.